It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Morning, everybody. We are presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio. Morning, Jay. Morning, Key.
What's happening? Bounce back time, baby. Let's go.
Come on, Jay. A little more than that. Give me a little more than that.
Good morning, Jay.
What's up, Key? I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Now I got you, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. Every now and then, I guess it's the music. Let me bring that a little
music
closer there.
Music is high.
What's up, man? What's wrong, Jay?
Long night, man. Long night that just morphs into morning and then morphs back into night.
Yeah, he had way more energy. Somebody was in my ear just now, Jay, say you have way more energy if Jokic won that MVP.
Oh, God.
They just was saying to me in my ear. I'm just telling you what they were saying.
I have no energy for it. I got nothing for you.
All right.
I'm so happy for Embiid. Very happy.
I'm going to have to antagonize
lies, and more lies.
Goes on, I think.
What are you talking about?
Well, see, already you're starting to wake up.
I'll drink more coffee.
What are you talking about?
Why are you asleep?
Huh?
Why are you sleeping?
The game was on late.
I was watching the game.
Come on, man.
What do you mean, come on, man?
I guess. See, you watched the game. I watched the game and the post game. And the post game after that. And then the local news post game.
So you just kept going all the way through the night.
You know, when you got all that energy and hype, man.
Yeah, you got to juice it. You got to get every drop.
I felt like I was playing.
That's the problem, though. It just keeps bleeding into the morning each night.
Yeah, I'm working. I'm working on about three, but I'm good.
Three.
I
wish I was working on three right now.
No, I'm working. I'm working on about three, but I know what's gonna happen when I'm done today. I already know what's going down.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Don't call me. Don't text me. It's a wrap.
This must be nice. Must be nice. My day doesn't end.
Well, you signed up for it, Max.
Nevertheless, we're not talking about what we signed up for. We're talking about the reality.
I had these thoughts, and obviously we're going to talk about your leg show. But, like, late-night games, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you're trying to stay up. I'm trying to watch the game. I'm like, all right, it's 12:30. It's the third. And I'm like, do I just keep power? Do I have a coffee? Like, do I make myself some tea, but then I don't want to fall asleep? Like, I don't know how to transition.
Jay,
What's that transition mechanism? I was so wired
after the game. I couldn't sleep. Finally, at like 2:30 in the morning, I got up and made myself breakfast. You get hungry.
You say you made French toast.
I made French toast, eggs. I fried up some turkey, like that honey glazed turkey. I fried up, had a full breakfast at 2:30 in the morning. True.
Key was posting pictures of his meals. That looked good last night.
Pre-game meal, man. Pat
saying you posted the pic. It was like 10:30 my time. I'm like, man, I'm hungry again. Maybe I should make myself some.
That was pre-game meal. I did it right at the end. I started right at the end of the Knicks game, and I figured I'd roll into my game in the Laker game, and I'll take my first bite. It was on point, though, with the Argentinian shrimp.
Ooh, that looked good.
Cauliflower mash with the Parmesan cheese with chives in it. You know what
Pat,
I'm saying?
Little spinach
with minced garlic and lemon and olive oil. He does it. I can't.
Looks like a plate of baby food.
Get your culinary game up, man.
And shout out to Nuno. Nuno, your game plan was right for the Knicks. You said outscore the Miami Heat. And you guys
did that
without Jimmy Butler.
They followed your advice, Nuno. It worked.
Great game plan.
Keep it simple. Score more points. At the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Score more points.
Man, I thought
beautiful,
y'all was
ugly. Y'all, man, y'all almost tricked that one.
When Julius Randle hit the side of the backboard, I was like, oh, yes, over.
Why is it that, like, and the Warriors did this too in the fourth, though. Like, why when coaches go zone, they really threw a monkey wrench in there. Like, they went zone, and they couldn't figure it out. I'm like, it's zone. It's a zone. What, NBA guys have a hard time figuring out zones?
Julius Randle sometimes gets a little shooting happy. You know what I mean? He gets a little scoring happy anyway.
No, he had to shoot the one off the side of the backboard because they was playing hot potato and he got stuck with it in the corner with the clock running down. So he rushed his shot. That was all he really could do because he got pinned in the far corner, Jay. He was off to the side. I was like, why did you run in the corner like that and just stand?
Yo, Key, shout out to Darvin Ham. I mean, I give respect where respect is due. Look, I'm picking Golden State still to win the series. It's going to be a tight series. And I learned something last night that Darvin Ham, the scheme that you have on Vanderbilt, Garden, you know, top locking, chasing guys like Steph Curry. And what happens when you got a guy who's 6'8", who plays on a high side, like you could chase over the top of the screen, it gives you a different feel than what we saw, you know, with Al Horford playing in drop coverage and a smaller guard like Derek White chasing over the top. Like, when you got a guy who's 6'7", 6'8", who's trailing you on plays, you know, that length, that size deters you. And you funnel people into LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, by the way, are just playing off Draymond and Kevon Looney. They were just sitting in the middle of the paint. That gave a different look and feel to Steph, who was 10 of 24 for 20. If you look at 27 points, but on 24 shots.
Yeah.
Like, that game plan worked, man.
I thought they was going to call a bunch of illegal defenses, though, because they were just standing there.
They were just standing there. I'm like, damn, y'all ain't – like, all right, Draymond's not guarding Jared Vanderbilt, but at the same time, LeBron and AD aren't guarding Looney and Draymond. Like, it's a different feel. So I give Darvin Ham all the credit in the world. That game plan worked. Now, will it work? Some things you learned in the fourth quarter, like the zone threw you guys off a little bit, Key. When they started doing more high ball screens at the top, it put AD in tougher situations. So, look, there's going to be counters to these moves that have been done. But to get one at Golden State, and AD got wide open shot after wide open shot. I'm like, okay, are you guys going to guard Anthony Davis, who's getting shots at the elbow? I mean, he just found his rhythm in the first quarter. And, I mean, he had 27 to what, in seven?
He
27 and 10 in the first half?
He ended with 30, 23, and 5 with four block shots.
Oh, yeah, 23 in the first half, Key.
That was his final stat line, but he was in his 20s in the first half. But it changed a little bit because, like I said yesterday, them second shot attempts late in the game, Golden State was getting those second shot attempts. When they went 14, I think it was, what, a 14-0 run?
Yeah,
something like that, 14-2. They was getting those second shots. Prior to that, we was pretty much Windexing the boards. We was cleaning the boards and doing our job. For whatever reason, late in the game at about the 4 or 5 minute mark, we stopped. I don't know. We just stopped doing that.
Can I just say my headline for today? And I know it's taking me 7 minutes to like work into this segment because I feel like I'm so damn tired. Jordan Poole, you are not 30. You are not 30. And if I just watch 30, give me a 50-point masterclass.
I thought it was like
26. He's a number below 30, whatever that is, Key. But if I just watch 30, give me a masterclass in Game 7 in Sacramento on the road. Like, I know that you got the bag. And this has been an ongoing theme that this team has to work through, whether it's Steph calling them out in the huddle or, you know, Draymond Green trying to grab his hand. He saw in Game 6 when they were getting smacked at home and Jordan didn't want to deal with it. At some juncture, like, I need you to give the ball back to 30 and not take a shot 7 feet behind the three-point line
with
8 seconds left to go in the game.
So the Lakers win 117-112. AD, as I mentioned, 30, 23, 5, and 4 blocks. LeBron, 22, 11, and 3, has not shot well from 3, and the Lakers have won anyway. D'Angelo Russell, when he scores, the Lakers tend to win. They're 5-0 when he has at least 15 points and 0-2 when he doesn't. Jay, going into this game, going into this series, you thought the Warriors would win.
I still think the Warriors
would win. And that it wouldn't be as competitive, it sounded from the way you were describing it, as some other people thought it might be. You seem to be very confident this is a bad matchup for the Lakers. If Schroeder's running around chasing Curry, it's just bad for the Lakers. Now that game one is over and the Lakers won, in spite of LeBron really not being able to hit from deep, hit one shot from deep, do you feel anything different? Have you learned anything from game one? Has your prediction changed at all in terms of how long the series is going to go?
Last night the Lakers team that sometimes I question showed up, Key. Like, you and I have talked about the inconsistency with the Lakers, and that's a thing sometimes with Anthony Davis that concerns me. When they are physical, when they make it a fight and they actually defend, they can compete in this series. They can win this series. It should go seven, or maybe they actually win it earlier. But it's the inconsistencies that sometimes I feel like it happened in the first quarter. There are times where you're like, okay, Dennis Schroeder, if you try to shoot the gap on the screen, you're going to get beat. If you try to go under a ball screen and you don't chase over D'Lo, Austin Reeves, you're going to get beat. You saw that a little bit, but when they stay disciplined defensively and they sustain that high energy level, like, that's when they're going to be at their best. It's just sometimes questioning whether they have the ability to do that, because we've seen them trick off games a lot.
Look, if Anthony Davis plays the way that he's playing throughout the playoffs, every single game that he's balled out, the Lakers have gotten a W out of it. If he continues to give you the stat line, final stat line, 30, 23, 5, and however many blocks. If he does that, as I've always said, I've been saying this since day one, this goes through Anthony Davis. It does not go through LeBron James. LeBron James may be the name, he may be the brand, but if the Lakers are going to win a championship this year, and this year alone, Anthony Davis has got to be Anthony Davis. He's got to be the guy that they traded for to get him from New Orleans and give up that haul. He cannot be a guy that every time you look up, he's getting off the floor, or he's taking bad shots because he's being pushed off the blocks and he's doing turnarounds from 90 feet out. You cannot do that. If he does what he did last night, the Lakers will win this series and be on to the
next. By the way, when they won the championship in the bubble, LeBron used him as an offensive weapon the same way. Yeah, LeBron is the one who's running the offense through Anthony Davis. But, guys, if you replaced LeBron on this team with another really good player who can set up your offense, do you think that they would – like, who knows if they'll beat Golden State? They're up 1-0. They stole one on the road. But I would feel very different about it. Like, it's still LeBron with his hands on the strings, right? And it's still LeBron versus Steph with a lot on the line for their legacies right now.
Well, see, realistically in basketball, it's never 1v1. We make it 1v1. We make it that way because of the narratives and the headlines around these guys. But realistically, LeBron never wins one in Cleveland without Kyrie making that clutch shot.
No doubt.
So you have players that say, okay, like, yo, Key, today you got it. Yo, Max, today you got it. Yo, Jay, today. Like, there's a series of ebbs and flows. Like, for a guy like LeBron, who's 38, he's going to have his moments. But you also need AD to be consistent. Kevon Looney cannot stop Anthony Davis. His feet are too slow. Draymond Green is too small.
Playing well, though, this whole playoff. So
agreed, but he cannot stop Anthony Davis.
Different class.
AD's the only one that can stop AD.
So, all right, let's get into this.
He grabbed his hip, Jay, and I almost fell out.
Again.
I want to go back into that. I want to get back into that Jordan Poole shot. I want to talk about Steph versus LeBron. Lots to get into here. Just in this game alone. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Anyone have any issues with Jordan Poole taking that shot with 8 seconds left from about 100 feet away?
That game starts so late.
KJM, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, we were talking earlier about Jordan Poole taking that shot. Too much time on the shot clock, 8.4 seconds left in the game, and he takes a very deep three. But let me ask you this, Jay. You say, hey, you're not 30, right? Like, if this is Steph, it's something else. But Steph has created a league. This is when everyone's like, oh, look at the influence he's had on the game. He's changed the game. He has. he's created a league where a lot of guys might think that's a good shot, right? If you're in rhythm, if you're feeling it, if you're the open man and you have a good look, you might think you might not have a better look. You take it in rhythm. I mean, Steph made comments to that effect after the game. Do you think that that's cut and dried? Like, he definitely doesn't take that shot?
I just don't like the shot. I mean, I don't know why you can't take a dribble closer.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. I was about to ask you a dribble close in with one or two steps.
Pull up.
Instead of just put, like.
Yeah, get in your bag. Why are you taking a shot from, like, between half court and 3 points?
Who was coming over to someone was trying to put a hand up.
All right, so, I mean, look, LeBron's
right there.
Yeah, but the guy's coming from your right
side. Who is that? I can't
see. That's Jared Vanderbilt. Yeah, he's coming from your right side, but he's running, like, from, like, an angle. Like, he's not coming from the rim towards you. He's coming from the sideline towards you.
Yeah, right,
you can still
take
a dribble in.
You make it harder for him, as a matter of fact, yeah.
You make it easier for yourself. Now, Key, like, look, this is going to be.
Punch right now. If he punched.
I said punch that.
Yeah, punch it.
Like, get that in there. So, like, I don't like the shot at all. I'd much rather in that situation, like, get a step closer or find a way. Steph was coming back towards the ball. You see Steph kind of throw his hands up in the air. Like, that's kind of.
Because he thought he was going to whip it back to him.
Exactly.
He probably, like, Jordan, to be honest with you, Jordan Poole, Jay probably didn't, you know, sometimes the clock. He probably didn't realize that clock, man, you know, clock,
how much
what
time
the clock
was.
Yeah, but like that's I think that's the thing sometimes with Jordan. Jordan is a really talented player who is deserving of all of his money. But sometimes Jordan has not taken that step. Like, he's a reactionary player. He's not a cerebral player yet. Like, Steph is reactionary and cerebral. And I think that's the missing element of Jordan's game. Like, where he's just sometimes so in his bag, you could tell, like, he's playing faster, like, than his mind is. Like, his mind needs to slow down a little bit. Because his body's playing faster. And that's where Steph is way more poised.
He did hit some shots. He hit some difficult shots in the game, so he probably was feeling, you know what I'm saying? He was feeling himself a little bit. He hit that shot on D-Lo and gave him the little, I don't even know what that was, but gave him the piano, you know what I'm saying, with the fingers. So I'm like, okay, so he's starting to feel himself a little bit.
But you feel me, though, Key? Like, just watch when Steph play. Like, it's not a bad thing. I'm surely pointing out the differences, right? And one player is extremely young, learning how to mold himself into, you know, being a champion and playing with Steph. And Steph is obviously experienced. But, like, watching the little tendencies of him, like, Jordan just moves frenetically. It's like very herky-jerky. Where you watch Steph, it just seems
purposeful.
Like it's way more intentful, right? Fluid a lot of times. And I think sometimes players on their team get a little bit frustrated, like, hey, the helter-skelter, man, slow it down. Like, there's a rhythm that comes along with how we play. Mirror that rhythm a lot more.
Meantime, it is true that LeBron and Steph have faced each other. And the reason, I know, obviously you can't reduce it to one-on-one, but they both are the orchestrators of their teams.
But wait,
teams.
Max, before we go into legacy for a second, because I know you want to get there on these two, I do want to point out, the Lakers last night shot 29 free throws.
And hit a lot.
As opposed to Golden State shooting 6. Now, that's not poor refereeing. That's because they were physical.
Yeah.
They dictated the physicality of the game. They also dominated with 54 to 28 points in the paint. If that's going to be the case, then Golden State's going to have a hard time, right? Because they need to negate that or combat that with the three-point shot. So they need to knock down a lot more three-point shots if you're giving up that many points in the paint. Mm-hmm. Allowing those free throw discrepancies.
Speaking of Steph,
his
effect.
Free throw discrepancies.
Speaking of Steph, his effect on the game is the reason where you even go into a series like this and the smaller team is considered, it's a tough styles matchup. In the old days, you got the best big player. It's like, oh, what are you going to do with that guy? But still, that's your best way to try to beat this. And it always has been with Golden State. When they went with their death lineup and everything, could you kind of get inside on them and punish them in the interior? But, Jay, I want to get
Max,
back, of course.
To legacy.
To LeBron and Steph. They're the orchestrators of their team. They're the two players of the era. And while Steph is way up in the head-to-head series, in fact, when you break it down, clearly LeBron had him in 2015. He just had his second and third best players not playing. Not like one or two rotation pieces. the two other All-Stars he had on the team were not available to him.
You mean like all the teams that CP3 has played for?
Yeah, sure. But we're talking about LeBron and Steph.
I understand. I'm just saying players get hurt in series. It happens
yes,
all the time.
And when you lose your second and third best player, it's an enormous disadvantage. So if that series goes six games, you might conclude afterwards, Steph and the Warriors are very lucky that those two guys got hurt. That would be my conclusion. In the next year, LeBron beats Steph. And then Steph gets LeBron twice, both times with KD.
Well, that's when LeBron, you say beat Steph, but they were down 3-1. It was one of the greatest comebacks of all time, right?
Yeah.
But Draymond Green kicking, you can make a case that that series could have gone different if he doesn't get
who
ejected.
Who provoked that?
I understand, but I'm just saying if you're providing data points that fit one narrative, but like, well, two guys are down, you have to give also data points that fit the other narrative that if that guy wasn't out, maybe don't come back 3-1.
That's right, but that's to LeBron's credit. As you agree, he provoked it. He got it out of him. So that's something LeBron did to affect the series. And then by the way, last 5 minutes of the game at home, fourth quarter, game 7, 73-win team, they didn't score a point. Whole unit did not score a point. Steph threw it out of bounds.
Why are we talking about the Warriors from 30 years ago?
The point is that the next time they faced each other, the Warriors had KD. You couldn't beat them. You know, if you think that's – well, you can't say – just imagine if KD had looked at LeBron and the Cavs and go, I'm going to join the Cavs. Cavs couldn't – and they had Kyrie and Kevin Love and KD. They would have crushed everyone. Well, the Warriors are the ones who got KD, so they crushed everyone. That doesn't tell me a lot about the Steph LeBron thing. Here we're in another series. Guys like you, Jay, the experts, are looking going, this is going to be not so great for the Lakers probably, right? What does it mean if LeBron can guide this team past Steph again?
I can answer that for you, Jay.
Sure, Keith, thank you.
If you would like.
Well, Keith, we got to go to break now. Well, we're at the break point.
Oh.
No, we're not.
I may be able to answer it another time.
No, no, Keith can answer it. Then
answer
we can
when
take
we come
calls.
Back. I'll answer
why
it
do you
we
want to break
back.
Early?
Well, because all right, go on, Keith, take it away.
Now he's frozen. He's doing the.
He's
sometimes Keith
frozen.
Will do this. He will act frozen. He can hold it for a very long time. Let's
I
want see.
To see how long he goes before he blinks.
We got. 15 seconds before.
He's breathing.
He's not blinking. Don't your eyes get dry?
He's breathing. I see those nostrils flaring up.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Key will give his explanation, and then we will take your calls.
If I can remember what you
said. Well, I forgot.
KJ.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Grab that torch, AD.
By Progressive Insurance.
Grab that torch, Key. Sometimes you got it's mine.
AD?
I mean, look, Key and I have been talking about this before.
Here's what I was going to say, though, Jay.
Huh?
I was going to answer that question. I was going to answer Max's question
yes.
from the last segment.
What does it mean for their legacies?
It don't mean anything, man. It's the second round. This ain't the championship. Mm-hmm. This ain't game seven. It's the second round.
Doesn't matter when these two meet. People are going to remember it.
It's not. No, you want to manufacture that and make it something.
Well,
this
maybe,
is about. This is about. This is about Anthony Davis. This is a totally about Anthony Davis. This is not about LeBron James. LeBron James is shooting awful. Okay, he is playing basketball with his team. He is a leader of the team, but all of this is going through Anthony Davis.
LeBron is running the offense through AD.
This is AD versus Steph Curry right now. This is not LeBron James. We want it to be LeBron James because it's a great story. But if LeBron James continues to play the way he's playing and Anthony Davis all of a sudden plays bad, the Lakers are going home. Period.
Yes, of course, because you need a crime partner, and LeBron is basically the point guard. So you're going to use the big. By the way, Magic
really,
used Kareem.
But he's not a big,
AD is him. AD is the best player on their team.
Well, if you swap LeBron out for another
yeah, but if you swap, Davis out for somebody else, you think they're going to be – You just think they're going to be there again? I mean, it's the same exercise on the other end, too.
Yes, that's a good point. It depends for whom. You know, if you gave Jokic or Embiid, I think they'd be just fine. You know, but who would you have to swap LeBron out for? Like, even if you gave them, let's say, Ja Morant, someone really good, young, up and coming, I don't think the Lakers, you know, I don't think they are where they are. Like, LeBron is still the guy pulling the strings, is he not?
Yeah.
Is he running the offense?
Yeah, he pulls a lot of the strings. I mean, he's LeBron James, but they don't go far without Anthony Davis.
No question, but I'm saying I don't think – I know this is not the finals in the offense. AD is going to be the lead scorer, and he's also going to be the best defender. He anchors the team defensively. But I don't think – I could be wrong. I don't think a LeBron team has ever been favored to beat a Steph team in the playoffs. I believe – again, could be wrong, but I believe in 2015 – the Warriors were favored. I'd have to check that. Certainly once. Yeah, they were favored. 16, they were certainly favored. 17 and 18, they had KD, they were favored. Here, they're favored, right? Like, if LeBron, I throw the KD years, like, anyone who had KD, no, like, either one of those guys got KD, it'd have been a wrap. So Steph got him. But in the other series, Steph is always favored, but so far 15, 16, man, LeBron's done a lot. I'm saying, so here we are again in that kind of situation. What you don't think it means anything? Where
not for no legacy, Max.
What does it mean to you
on the legacy?
Yeah, what does it mean to you if you because you're the one asking the question? It feels this means something to you.
Okay, so it seems to me if you talk about eras, right? You go from Magic and Bird to MJ. To Shaq and Kobe and Duncan, right? To LeBron. And LeBron for a long time. And now it looks like to Steph.
Yeah, they're the two best generational players.
If LeBron bumps Steph, especially if the Lakers then advance, it's not. It's like, no, it's still LeBron. He's still the guy.
LeBron is not the same player.
No doubt.
Steph is the same player, man. Steph may be even better.
Yes, even better. I agree with that.
He may be even better. LeBron's not there.
Steph is better than LeBron right now.
Yes, if the Lakers win this series, you'll think differently about
that.
No, I won't.
Okay, we shall see.
By the way, it is reasonable to think that the better player loses the series in team sports, Max.
Yes, if he's on the worst team.
What?
If the better player's on the lesser team, you expect he could – it's possibly – if the better player's on the better team, he's not supposed to lose a series. And according to you, Jay, at least in terms of the Styles matchup, heading into this series,
sport,
that was Steph.
Mac?
But Max, this is
sport.
Not tennis. It's not like one-on-one. LeBron's not even guarding Steph.
Agreed.
Austin Reeves can carry them in any game.
Okay.
Just all of a sudden, he gets extremely hot.
But I don't know that's hard for you to,
it's
to,
not,
to think.
It's not.
Like, the best player can still lose in a team sport to another team.
I've already addressed that. So if you guys are ignoring that, that's not on me. Yes, that is possible. But if the better player is also on the better team, you would expect him to win. And, Jay, according to your analysis heading into this series.
The style is better.
It doesn't mean that they're
a better team. The style, it's a battle of styles. And by the way, this team stunk on the road.
But this was at home, actually.
It's not even the style, Jay. It's not the style. It's the personnel matchup
and
what they do.
Well, that's
was why Jay felt a certain way like many other people. Because when you have Steph Curry running all over the place, when you have Klay running all over the place, and they're consistently moving the ball around, and you haven't shown the ability to slow them down when they're doing that, is the reason Jay felt that way.
Yeah, by the way, here's an answer that I would accept. And Jay, you and I have discussed this on and off mic for like months and months.
Here's an answer I would accept.
Yes, because I'm the one who decides like these things.
He's the teacher. We're writing the reports.
Gather around, young children. The point is,
he drinks coffee.
A lot of times heading into, that makes me a teacher.
Smoking cigarettes outside.
Eating cheese.
With the coffee.
So a lot of times when the reason Steph is favored, when you really break it down, is because they have Steph. And it makes his team look better than it really is. For example, if you looked at these Warriors, without Steph, are they really that good? Klay is coming back off of injury still. He's not the same guy he used to be, at least not yet. Wiggins is nice. A lot of teams have guys like that. And who and Draymond, you know, like these are not, it's not like, oh my God, what an all-star team. Steph is the reason that they're favored. If you want to say that they could be overrated in our minds because that's how great Steph is, and then that gets exposed a little bit, okay, is that what you're saying? I don't understand.
Wait, no.
Well, then LeBron's team just going to beat Steph's? Potentially.
All right, let's ask some callers. Let's see what they
say. ESPN.
I don't know what I'm answering anymore.
Mark in North Carolina, you're on KJM.
Hey, thanks for my call, guys.
Hey,
my question is directed at Jay. It's just the shade that he's been showing the Lakers all morning long. We spent 15 minutes talking about how the Golden State Warriors should have won the game, and you're not talking about how the Lakers took that game from them. And that's my problem. I'm a Steph Curry hater. I'm going ahead and admit it, and I'm a LeBron fan. It's always pointed towards somebody else's fault with Steph. And it's always blamed against LeBron.
Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Mark, can I ask you a
question?
Mark,
wait,
let me ask Mark. Mark, let me ask you a quick question, Mark. Do you know who on this panel up here has said that LeBron James is the greatest player of all time and drawn a line in the sand and talked about that and argued with people for the past 4 years about that?
Risking his very reputation.
Do you know that it was a month and a half ago that I was talking to Key, and then I went over and get up and I said that I think the Lakers can win a world championship? And people are like, what are you talking about?
All I know is the past 2 days, all I've heard is how great Steph Curry is, has ascended Mount Rushmore, how he's better than Magic Johnson. He's the best point guard of all time now. He's not the best point guard of all time. He's the best shooter of all time.
Now you're talking about something different, though, Mark. Now you're talking about a different argument. You're talking about where Steph compares in his greatness. That doesn't diminish LeBron. When you talk about Steph, that doesn't diminish LeBron.
Can we give the Lakers their flowers? They went on the road, game one, and beat.
I just gave the Lakers their flowers. I said that.
And we're talking about Jordan Poole, and they hit 18 threes last night. They hit 18 threes between three players. They took that game from them. They took that game. There wasn't nothing that Golden State. They almost couldn't play any better.
Yes, the Lakers won.
LeBron
the Lakers...
James and AD went and took that game for them, and sometimes they need their flower.
I don't know. Mark,
don't
get rid of Mark yet. Is Mark still
Mark
there?
Put Mark back on. Mark seems
angry. Hey, Mark, to help you out, Jay, when you come on shows at the top, to teach you
Key, I did that. I did the same thing yesterday, Key.
But wait,
I gave James Harden his flowers for saying his great win. And people just find a way to be mad at whatever they want to hear about.
I'm going to teach you how to lean
selective hearing by people.
Hey, let me ask, is Mark still there?
I'm serious.
Okay, Mark, do you think it's possible, since you acknowledge that you're a Steph hater and you're a Lakers fan, I assume, yeah?
LeBron.
Okay. Do you think it's possible that it's not Jay who's being biased, but rather, I'm just asking, do you think it's possible that you're listening for that and hearing stuff maybe that's not there? Because I have not heard Jay with an anti-Lakers bias.
Of course, 100%. I listen for stuff like that to get me angry.
Yeah, right.
You have to tell me. You're coming with a lot of heat.
I like Mark. Mark knows what it is. I mean, by the way, what are we doing here? It's not that serious.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played, Mark.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN. Jay throwing shade at the Lakers.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. After not giving Harden his flowers yesterday.
That's not a lie, though. He does throw shade at the Lakers.
Y'all got
Mark and you, Max, y'all got a lot in common. He doesn't like Steph Curry. You don't like Steph Curry.
That's not true. I love Steph Curry.
Better yet, you love Steph Curry to a degree, but you hate on LeBron. You got a little bit in common there.
I don't hate.
You do hate
one.
On LeBron.
Not having the second greatest player of all time ahead of Kareem. That's hating on a guy? All right. Why are you hating on Kareem, Jay? Unbelievable. What did Cap ever do to you? More calls. More of your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN.
By the way, Jay, plus, you stay in trouble with the fans.
The Grizzlies are going to move on from Dylan Brooks, but the way they did it, are they trying to ruin his market, his paycheck from another team?
Well,
ESPN
I don't know.
Radio.
You tell me.
Well, we're going to talk about it coming up.
I mean, I'm ESPN looking at radio. The clock. Were you looking at the clock?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are on the ESPN app. Just click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. If you get to work and I want to hear what they're talking about, don't worry about it. You get out of your car, put us on the app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. We're right there. Guys, the Memphis Grizzlies don't intend to re-sign Dylan Brooks in unrestricted free agency. Okay, fine, whatever. That could happen, and goodbye, and you part ways. League sources have confirmed this to ESPN. But the Grizzlies have informed pending free agent Dylan Brooks, according to Shams, that he will not be brought back under any circumstances. Well, that's quite a way to put it. Here's Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. Gotten so famous as an analyst, he's parodied on Saturday Night Live. That's how you know you made it in this country. Here he is on NBA Today. Listen to Perk react to this.
I don't think it's funny, to be honest, on how the Grizzlies are handling this situation for us, Dylan Brooks. It's one thing for us to clown and joke about him throughout the course of the series, but when you come back and you say that you're not going to bring him back, no matter the circumstances, like zero chances, like this guy is up for a contract. This guy spent 6 years in your organization, and in a couple of those years, he was actually great for you. So at the end of the day, my thing is when it comes down to affecting a livelihood, and it's also a reflection of your organization, this is not the way you want to be trending. If you're trying to be eye candy and attract guys to come in and play alongside Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, you don't want to be them to feel like, oh, this is how they did Dylan Brooks. That's how I would look at it. And it's just very disturbing to me that they would handle this situation like this.
So I'm going to go ahead and really push back on Kendrick Perkins here. Robert Parra, who is the owner of the Memphis Grizzlies, Zach Kleiman, who is the GM of the Memphis Grizzlies, and Taylor Jenkins, who is the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, have one of the best organizations in all of sports. In all of sports. If you've gotten a chance to spend time with any of their ownership crew, or if you got a chance to spend time down in Memphis and see how they actually operate, how they overly communicate as a franchise, you see that everything they try to do is very first class or in that manner. To me, this is something or a sign of something bigger with Dylan Brooks, because I don't see Memphis, who has done a really incredible job of insulating a lot of the chaos that's been going on with their team, from Ja Morant
to challenges that have happened with other players in the past. Like, they have kept everything internal. So I that has to be a sign of this being bigger than things that we would know when it relates to Dylan Brooks.
I get it.
Because I don't think they would just do that flippantly or just doing it nonchalantly about by under any circumstances are we bringing Dylan Brooks back.
I get it, but that's what's so damning about it. The problem is what you said about Memphis, right? So it leads people like me, I see this and I go, damn, what must Dylan Brooks be doing behind the scenes to cause this reaction from them? But that's the problem with it. I think that's why Perk is so hot about it, who's been critical of, you know, guys including Dylan Brooks as a member of the media. But when the organization that is respected says something like that, reasonable people go, damn, what he must be doing behind the scenes. That kills his market, doesn't it? Doesn't that really hurt his bottom line? Key, wouldn't you think that that cools off interest in him?
His play is going to cool off the interest. Because if he can play, he's going to get what he's supposed to get, regardless to what organizations say. I kind of agree with Perk to a degree. I don't care about what the ownership and all that, and they're great and everything. Jet, it's cool. You know them, you like them, and you think they do a fabulous job. But when you use the words that they use to describe a guy that's been on the floor for you, you didn't have that problem when you was trying to figure out how to beat the Lakers. You didn't have a problem with him saying what he said about LeBron James being old, doing some of the things that he was doing. You didn't have any issues with that. But the moment that it becomes a free agent, you now say under any circumstances, now, much like to Max saying, everybody's antenna goes up and say, well, what the hell did he do? You know, you don't usually say those sort of things about somebody unless it's been just so detrimental to the locker room.
If you're trying to hurt them.
Team and
you say that if you're trying to hurt them.
You just feel a certain way about them, you say those sort of things. I don't like it because they don't need to say anything, because when you put on the film, you know what he is as a player when you're looking to sign him. You don't have to say anything.
Key, would you want him on the Lakers?
I mean, yeah, why not?
Because he's about to be affordable, it seems to me.
What could he do to help us? All I care about is what can he do to help us? We done had Patrick Beverley on the team. Patrick Beverley's supposed to be, they can't have that guy on the team. We done had Westbrook on the team. If you can play, hell, we going to get Kyrie, according to all signs. Everybody is going crazy about Kyrie being a problem in the locker room and on the court. Can you help me win? That's all I care about.
So, Key, I hear what you're saying, and we're going to have to talk about this going into the next hour. I think certain players, when the skill level is so different, you're more apt or more willing as a franchise to take some of the stress or some of the things that come along with, like Antonio Brown, like certain individuals. Yeah. Like, you know what? Your skill level is so different.
Hell,
Dennis Rodman. I'm willing to accept some of the crazy things. When your skill level doesn't match some of the chaos that comes along with you, and you put teammates, you could then find yourself on the outside looking in. I think right now, like, the conversation then turns to, like, are we going to find Dylan Brooks on the outside of the league, looking in the league, not wondering if he's going to have a job?
They see him as a 3-and-D guy. He doesn't shoot the three. Go ahead, Kate.
Jay, that's my concern and my worry. I don't have a problem with them saying, man, you can't help us.
And here's what,
I just have a problem with the words.
What I'm trying to allude to, though, is, like, for a team that's done an incredible job of insulating their players for a long time from a lot of this crazy stuff going on, it takes a lot, so much, for them to make that comment.
That's why it kills them.
Yes, I have a red flag up.
That's why it kills them. That's why it kills Dylan Brooks. That's why it kills Dylan Brooks. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN. People want to talk Lakers, Warriors, Dylan Brooks, KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.